So we left off yesterday. We just introduced the sugya of Lishma by Sukkah. We pointed out that according to Beis Shammai, Lishma is a very serious thing by Sukkah. You have to build a Sukkah for the intent of creating the Heftz Shel Mitzvah. And we happen to follow the view of Beis Hillel that that's not even necessary. But even though we don't really accept the din of Lishma by Sukkah, a lot of the lumdas we're going to discuss is going to revolve around Shittas Beis Shammai. Even though, again, in terms of Sukkah per se, it's not relevant, but a lot of it we're going to extrapolate to baking of matzahs, to making of tzitzis, making of tefillin, running of Torah, all those mitzvahs that perhaps do require lishma. So one of the points that we mentioned during the show yesterday was that Beis Shammai is a tremendous chiddush, that even though Beis Shammai insist on a Sukkah being made lishma, but they concede that if a Sukkah was made within 30 days before Sukkot, so that's automatically considered to be lishma. So we take a look, we go back to the first Imam Kamos for a moment. Yesterday we didn't have the Imam Kamos, so I'll try to be mashim a little bit inside. For the first Imam Kamos, the Mishnah tells us, Sukkah Yeshana, Bishamay Paisa, Bishal Machshirin. An old Sukkah, Bishamay say, is not acceptable because it wasn't made lishma, and Bishal will say it's alright. Ezi Sukkah Yeshana, what's called the Sukkah Yeshana? Kosh Yisrael Kol B'chag Shleshim Yoyim, that it was made more than 30 days before the Yomtiv. But if it was made for the express intent for Lashay Mitzvah, then it's going to be kosher no matter when it was made. So even Beis Shammai, who are the Machmir, who say that the Sukkah Yeshana, the old Sukkah, not made Lashma, is not acceptable, they concede that if it's within 30 days, it's all right. And that's based on the principle of Stama Lashma. So we raised the question yesterday, how do we understand what Stama Lashma means? So in light of the fact that the Rishonim are not sure, whenever we speak about Lashma, does Lashma require a Dibur? Or is Lishma sufficient with just thought alone? So if you hold that Lishma requires a Dibor, so then what does Stam Lishma mean? Stam Lishma, from today till tomorrow, we trust you to bring it Stam Lishma. But at the end of the day, you didn't say anything. So how could that be acceptable? If you hold that Lishma is sufficient with just Machshava, with just thought, then we can begin to understand why Stam Lishma would suffice. So in order to further understand this question a little bit better, we went back to the Machlekes and Rishonim. What is the din? Does Lishma require Dibor now? So our entire question is hinging on that question. Does Lishma require Dibur? The answer is yes, that we don't understand what's going on in our Mishnah. If the answer is no, then our Mishnah reads very smoothly. So we go to the third of the Marmar Kamos, who is Rabbeinu Baruch, who got the ball rolling yesterday. He said, yes, you know, Rabbeinu Baruch quoted by the Rosh in Hilchos Sefer Torah. Rabbeinu Baruch is on this topic, Im tzarech lahotzi b'svasov, shema avdol l'shem Sefer Torah, l'shem tefillin, osagam b'machshava. So says Rabbeinu Baruch, when you prepare the animal skin for the Sefer Torah, for the tefillin, so it has to be done l'shma. So he's not sure, what does it mean, you have to be done l'shma?
Participants are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Does that mean you have to literally say it? Or is it enough just to think it? So Rabbeinu Baruch has his original suffix by working on the skins. And the same would be true about the writing of the parashiyos, which also have to be done lishma. Again, unclear what lishma means. And similarly, the writing of a get. Once again, is it sufficient just to think it? So we added on a few more cases, the baking of matzahs, the baking of tzitzis, making of tefillin, etc. All of the lishma types of halachas, do you require a dibur or is it sufficient with machshava? So one of the pivotal riyas of Rabbeinu Baruch, where we ended off yesterday, was the vishimetzinu pigul, tichsibe lo yerotzeh, ubayu dibur. The Torah speaks about pigul meaning quote-unquote machshava, and the Mishnah uses the phrase machshava. A person has the incorrect intention when he shechts the korban. So yesterday we gave a list of all the different possible incorrect intentions. The serious, the worst of all of them being pigul, that he shechts the korban and does other avodas to the blood, having either in mind or saying that it's going to be chutz l'zman, or he's going to eat it after the zman. So that's a disaster. That's called pigul. He's chayef kares, even right now if he eats it. So Rabbeinu Baruch says, when it comes to pigul, by a dibor, for sure you require dibor. So since you require dibor for pigul, maybe one could argue, if you require dibor for pigul, maybe you require dibor for machshava l'shma also. Because if you think about it, pigul is almost the antithesis of machshava l'shma. Pigul is the ultimate shalol l'shma. So just as machshavas that ruin things require dibor, and the Torah doesn't accept and doesn't address just thought processes alone, so too, in order to create things, in order to create lishma, in order to create a get, etc., it has to be done with dibur as well. So if the entire Beit Baruch is hinging on the comparison to pigul, that's assuming that the facts are right, assuming that the facts are true. The pigul requires dibur. Where does it say that pigul requires dibur? Doesn't say it beferish of the Gemara. Rabbeinu Baruch was assuming that way, and we left off questioning, is that really true? So much of the discussion of the Rishonim about does pigul require dibur or not is now going to become relevant for us in terms of lishma b'mitzvah. So again, we're still a few steps away. We're still trying to understand the Mishnah Sukkah. The Mishnah Sukkah says that stama lishma works. Just doing something with the intent, with this very, very vague intention that's within 30 days of Sukkah, so that's fine. Even according to Bishamai, you need lishma min haTorah, stama lishma works. So we know that stama lishma is acceptable min haTorah. We think that stama lishma is based on the fact that you don't really need dibur. But now Rabbeinu Baruch is telling us that you do need dibur, and it's proof positive that you need dibur is the fact that you need dibur for pigul. So we have to go back to the source. So we're learning the sukkah twice removed. We're really learning Maseches Sukkah. Then for a minute we were learning Maseches Gittin, and now we're learning Maseches Bachim. So we have to ask ourselves, what's the din? What is the din by pigul? Does Machsheves Psul, does Machsheves Shalol Lishma, does that require dibur? And if that does, that's going to set into motion the whole discussion we're having about Machsheves Lishma and mitzvahs. Or maybe Rabbeinu Baruch's premise is not correct. So what's the din? So we have to close Maseches Sukkah and learn now a little bit of Maseches Vachim and Kachrim Sugyas. What is the din? Does Pigel require Dibur or is it sufficient for Machshava? So much of the discussion revolves around is Sugya. I guess it's within Shloshim Yom. That's how our Sugya started. So we're Shloshim Yom of Pesach. So it revolves around the Sugya, actually two Sugyas in Maseches Pesachim. It begins with the fourth of the Mamakamas. So the Mishnah Maseches Pesachim tells us, Shachta Shalol Ochlov. We mentioned very, very quickly in passing yesterday that if a person shechts a Korban Pesach with the intent of feeding it to somebody who should not be eating this Korban Pesach. Why should he not be eating this Korban Pesach? Because it's Shalol Ochlov. What does that mean? So either it's Shalol Menuyav, someone who wasn't signed up for the Korban Pesach, or the Arelim, or he doesn't have a bris milah, or the Tmeim, he's Tamei. All of these people are not allowed to eat Korban Pesach with the Torah. So now the Torah has a chiddush for us that if I shechted the Korban, I'll das to feed it to these people, puzzle, then the Korban itself is puzzle. That's called Machsheves Ochlin bePesach. We mentioned this very, very quickly yesterday in passing. The Machsheves Ochlin, Shalom Ochlin Pesach, is a special din by Korban Pesach, doesn't carry over to other Korbanos, and it puzzles the Korban even with the oven. Nevertheless, the Mishnah tells us, what if La'ochlov is Shalom La'ochlov? L'menuyev is Shalom L'menuyev? L'mulim uli arelim? L'tzmeim l'torim? What if a person shechs the Korban Pesach and has in mind a combination? He's going to feed part of the Korban Pesach to people who are signed up, and part to uninvited guests. He's going to feed part of it to Tmeim, part to Tahorim, part to Arelim, part to Mulim. So then the Mishnah says, categorically, it's kosher. How do we know this? What's this based on? It's a pure exercise of kosher. This sugyas in the fifth parak of Maseches Pesachim, the Gemara derives this from Psukim. He's a dinim in the Torah, that Machsheves Ochlin Pasal Korban Pesach, but the breaks that put on that din, what's called Mitzas Ochlin No Pasla. If only part of the Korban Pesach is going to be fed to people, Shalom Nuyav, Manol Ochum, etc., is going to be kosher. So with this background, now the Gemara quotes on the fifth of the Rambam Kamos, a very, very cryptic brisa, working off of the details of this halacha. So Tanya, we learned in the brisa, Achayim Omrim, the Gemara says that Achayim is always a Rabbi Meir. So Achayim Omrim, Hikdim Mulim Le'arelim, kosher, Arelim Le'mulim Pasul. If the person shechts a Korban Pesach with a double intention, he mentions first the word mulim, first he speaks about, or thinks about, whatever that means, about the people who are allowed to eat, and then he throws in for a bad luck, the arelim. So the Bryce says, hik the mulim, the arelim kosher, then it's fine, then nothing to worry about. Arelim the mulim posel, but if he first mentioned arelim, and then as an afterthought he says mulim, then it's posel. So the problem is, how does that fit into the basic premise of the halacha? The basic premise of the halacha is that shalom la'ochlam, or the arelim, pasels the korban. But we know, the Gemara learns out from Sukkah, mitzas ochlam la'pasla. So the Gemara says, what's going on? These are both examples of mitzas ochlam. What's the difference whether you said the right person or the wrong person first? So ask the Gemara, ma'ishnam mulim the arelim de kosher. Why is it, if you mention the mulim before the arelim, that it's okay? The kula orla binan v'leika. The only time that something disqualifies the korban is only if it's kula arelim, only if it's completely shalol ochlov. Arelim lemulim namis, then vice versa. It should also be okay, because kula orla bin valeika. Because when you have arelim mentioned before mulim, but in the end of the day you salvaged it, you saved it by mentioning mulim. So basically the way the brisa appears, it seems to be incomprehensible. The man of shach. If you believe in all the facts that we're saying, that Ochlin pasels, but Mikta Zochlin doesn't pasel. So Mamadam Shach, either that both cases are kosher, both cases are going to be pasel. So the Gemara has a possibility to explain this brisa on the sixth of Mamkom. I saved us a couple of lines in the middle where the Gemara tries a few different attempts. And now Amar Rab on the sixth of the Mamakamos. The Gemara says the case is as follows. Amar Rab. Lo, the Olam Kasavi Acherim, Yeshna Lashchita Mechila V'Yatzof. That's already a whole different question. There is a Machlekes, a Sugi that appears in a few places in Shas, about Shchita. Shchita is a process. It takes a little bit of time when you start the Shecht. So until you finish the Shchita, it takes a second or two. So there's machlekes in the Gemara about all the dinim of shechita that, let's say, a person has a certain kavana during shechita. At what moment during shechita do we care about? Do we care about the entire duration of the process, or only the last split second when the animal goes, when you cut the rove of the simon, that's considered to be the shasa shechita? So again, that's not relevant for our point right now, but the Gemara just says that yesh b'tchila v'yatzof means there is a time, there is a little bit of a window for multiple machshavos. The guy has a second or two to think a few things or to say a few things, and this is what happened. V'hochav b'mayaskina. Kugon shigomer b'libo l'travayu. The person's intent, everyone's honest here, the guy's telling us exactly what happened, doesn't want to mess things up for us. The person is telling us, this is what I thought. I really thought bein l'mulim, bein l'arelim. I had in mind that I'm shechting this Korban Pesach for both mulim and arelim. If that's all that happened, then nothing terrible happened. I mean, maybe it wasn't the nicest thing for him to do to mention the arelim, but at the end of the day, it doesn't make a difference, because the Mishnah tells us, mixes arelim lo posla. So in his heart of hearts, he had in mind both mulim and arelim. But now the problem is, a person doesn't always say what he had in his mind. So the guy's hitting him, but if we could read his mind, it would say as follows. If we were looking, if we had the comic book and you saw the three little dots and looking, what's he thinking? He's thinking, Mulin and Arelim, Mulin and Arelim, everything's great, everything's wonderful. And then, when he gets to the moment of truth, then he starts to talk. So he mentions Arelim, and he totally forgot to mention, Hispik Lama Lamulin, Achenigma Shchita B'Arelim. He doesn't get around to mentioning the word Mulin, which would have saved the day, until the Shchita is over already. So that's what the Brisa means when it says, Hikdim Arelim Lamulim, he's got a problem. What's the problem exactly? Because Lamaisa, all he did was mention Arelim. So if you follow what he's saying, if you look at what his words, I don't think about what his intention is, if you look at what his words were, at the end of the day, it's not Miktas Ochlin, it's Kol Ochlin. He mentioned the only words the only words that came out of his mouth were the words Arelim. So it's a no-brainer. This carbon should be puzzled. That's the starting point of the Gemara. So how come nobody else accepts Rabbi Meir, the Acherim Shita? The Gemara says for another reason. There was a mistake here. He said something unintentionally. He meant on saying both, and he ended up only saying one. That's what's called ein piv v'libo shavin. So there's a machlekes atanoim, a sugya, the darim, and shvuas, and aziris, a complicated sugya, about if a person is thinking one thing and says something else, do we totally ignore and just cancel what they say? So the Rabbanon happened to hold that since it's lacking piv v'libo shavim, everything gets canceled. The whole thing was one big toast. The whole thing was a mistake, because he was intending on saying both, which would have been okay. So the Rabbanon say you can't passel the korban based on what he said, and Rabbi Meir doesn't buy into that principle of piv v'libo shavim. So that's what the Gemara explains in Mahok Pligi. So the machlokes in this brayso is as follows: the Rabbi Meir suffer lo b'inan piv v'libo shavim. Rabbi Meir says you don't need his mind and his heart and his mouth to be saying the same thing. Rabbanan Savra beating people with a shovel. Rabbanan say no. If there's a discrepancy between what he said and what he thought, we throw everything out the window.
This
is
Pesul
Daraisa, right? Yeah, it's a Din Daraisa. Wow. So we're trying to analyze what happened. This wild case. So again, the guy's honest. The guy comes crying to us. Oh yeah, yeah, Pesach, I messed up. Oh, what happened? So we sit him down and say, okay, tell us quickly. What did you think and what did you say? That's all we want to know. So he says, I was thinking to say both, which would have been okay, and I only said Arelim, and then a Shechta, it's over. So what's the status? So the Rabbanan take one look at this and say, forget it, everything's fine. Don't worry about it. You know why? It's one big mekachtol, it's one big mistake. You were thinking one thing, and you said something else, we just ignore everything, throw everything out the window, and everything is fine. The Korban Pesach is fine. But Rabbi Meir says, no. I'm not a big believer in toast so fast, says Rabbi Meir. We have to listen to what happened. We have to be very careful. We can't just ignore everything. We have to take into consideration what just happened. So what did happen? So Rabbi Meir says, well, I can only pass it on what I heard. I heard the word Arelim. I didn't hear anything about Mulin. The fact that he had mula in the back of your mind, what does that have to do with me? Says Rabbi Meir. All we listen to is what you said. So it's on this Gemara that Tosus makes the following observation. The seventh of the Marmar Kumas. Psachim Samar Gimel Medaf. Rabbi Meir Savar, Lo Ba'inan Pivul Boshavin, Mikan Dikdek Ri, Tahad Dekor Bechol Duchte Pigul Psul Machshava, Lav Dafka, the Eino Pigul, Achiyotzi Bisvasov. Says the Ri. This Gemara, tucked away in the middle of a wild sugya, you have to thank this guy for getting all mixed up. Not for him, we wouldn't have the raya. That you have this wild case of a guy sticking one thing, saying something else, and the Gemara is only addressing what he's saying. Rabbi Meir says we're totally ignoring what he thought, and we're only focusing on what he said. The only reason why the Rabbanan are throwing the whole thing out the window is because of a toast. It's a mistake. But if not for that factor, everybody agrees that somehow what he's thinking is not registering. Nobody cares what the person thought. So Frek tells us, if we take into consideration what he thought also, Bishlohispik Lamulamulam, my apostle Rabbi Meir, Lagom Believer, Lamulamulam, if Machshava in Kachim is defined by the thought process, so then, within the thought process, he had in mind lemulim. He had in mind half right. He had in mind mixes ochel no posla. So why does Rabbi Meir chop off what he thought? Only focus on what he says. Says the read. This is the raya brura that the only thing that matters in maseches zavachim and hilchos kachim is what you say. It doesn't matter what you think. That was the Ri's raya. Now Rabbeinu Baruch, who was a Talmud from the Ri, he was from the Talmidim of the Ri. I don't know if directly or the next generation. He was from the Balei HaTosfos. So Rabbeinu Baruch in Hilchos Sefer Torah was following that. The Ikvos HaRi was following the footsteps of the Ri. That the only thing that matters in psulei kachim is dibur. It doesn't really matter what your machshava is. And therefore, Ben Baruch extrapolated, and he said, well, if all that matters to pass on the korban is what you say, we ignore what you thought, so too, in order to be machshir, a sukkah, and matzahs, and get, and sefer Torah, etc., also, all that matters is what you say, not what you think. Now, that's going to pose a problem for us, because the Mishnah speaks about stama lishma. So we're going to run into a brick wall with this Ben Baruch, but at least we appreciate where Ben Baruch came from the Talmud of the Balei HaTosfos. Rabbeinu Baruch was basing himself on this Gemara in the back of his mind, Psachim Daf Samach Gimel, when he formulated his question Shita in Hilchos Sefer Torah. What about those who disagree? What about those who Rishonim will say, no, Machshava in Kachar means Machshava Mamish. That's the Shita Sarambam, the Pashas, that's the Shita Sachinuch. So those Rishonim who disagree with the Balei HaTosfos, those Rishonim will say, Machshava means Machshava. So what do they do with this Gemara in Maseches Psachim? So the Or Sameach and other Rechavarim explain, the Gemara Psachim is not relevant to our discussion. I'll tell you why. Those Rishonim who say Machshava carries the day, Bamedva Mamurim, when do we say the Machshava ruins it for you? That's for the person who doesn't plan on speaking. But once the person opens up his mouth, then for sure we only address his dibur. Machshava stands on its own 2 feet if that's all you did. So if a guy comes to the Beis HaMikdash, shechts the korban, has in mind, hini muchum zumin for pigel, hini muchum zumin shalol shmo, etc., that will ruin the korban min HaTorah, according to the Rambam and according to the Chinuch. But if the guy starts to finagle with us, and starts to talk, and starts to give us a speech, so then we say, obviously, this person is himself not addressing his machshava. If the person himself is not taking his machshava too seriously, we're not going to take it too seriously. So the moment the person opens up his mind, the only thing we care about is what he says. So the Gemara Psachim, according to the Rambam and the Chinuch, is the Yetzim in a cloud. That's the exception to the rule. The starting point is Machshava is sufficient. So we're back to square one. We have a Machlekes Rishonim between the Balei HaTosfos, represented by the Ri and Psachim, Rabbeinu Baruch and Hilchos Sefer Torah, who are insisting that the Dine Machshava and Kachim, Bein Lahokha Bein Lahachmir, all revolve around the mouth. According to the Rambam and the Chinuch, that's not really true. If the guy doesn't open up his mouth, then we do take into consideration what he thinks. So now, following Rabbeinu Baruch, we're extrapolating from that Machlekes Rishonim to Machshavas Lishma, to create Cheftzish in Kedusha, to create Cheftzish HaMitzvah, to create Gittin, do you need a Dibur or not? According to half the Rishonim, you do. According to half the Rishonim, you don't. Question becomes, if you don't require a Dibur, then the Mishnah in Sukkah makes perfect sense. If you do require Dibur, what is pshat in the din of stam lishma? Where does it come from? What's it based on? How do we understand? How could stam lishma be good if machshav itself is no good? So in order to understand that,
by shkita to here, it seemed that the Gemara is on. It's a matter of time. He only has a second.
Right. Right. Because
how can you say in a second?
depends how fast you talk. So you have to say, Mul Arelim. You have to say, Mul Arelim, real, real fast.
He's going
to
have a bunch of things in mind when he's checking the Pesach.
So if he wouldn't say anything, he would be okay. But right. The guy, who told him to open up his mouth?
No one, but he started opening his mouth. He was done. It wasn't that he wasn't going to say it. It was that his time ran out. So his machshav is all there. His speech is all there. It's just that he got cut off after 1 second.
But he got cut off with mice. Whatever he says after the shechita is not going to matter. A guy shechts an animal with machshav X, Y, and Z, and then an hour later he comes back to talk.
All the other issues of lishma, you know, writing in Jets, so you have 2 hours. There's no moment in time.
You're right. There's a technical problem here. You're right. There is a little bit of a.
What the Gemara is like. It's not, no, but. Is Achin and Gemara Shkita? He didn't have enough time.
Well, Hispik, he didn't have. Right. You're right. He could have had it. Yesh lo shchit b'chilim itself, but lemaisi, he didn't speak fast enough. So now the question is, do we address? So according to the Chachamim, you're like the Chachamim. The Chachamim say, listen, the guy wanted to say something, he couldn't say it. It's all a mistake. The whole thing's a toast. So throw the whole thing out the window. And Rabbi Meir says, no. Rabbi Meir says, the only thing that halacha registered is what came out of him. That's it. You know, imagine a guy comes and says, I said something in court, I didn't mean it. But we can only base ourselves on what we heard. So if Tachas, at the end of the day, you said X, Y, and Z, that's what we're going to hold you responsible for. So according to Rabbi Meir, we're ignoring what he thought. So Rabbi Baruch says, and Nuri says, you see from here, that thought doesn't matter. All that matters is speech.
But Rabbeinu, that's not, meaning, according to Rabbi Meir, he doesn't hold that if a person stam brought a korban Pesach, maybe we're afraid because he didn't have any dibur, that it was for...
Well, you don't really need dibur. You don't need dibur.
Right.
The problem is what you start...
Here's not a case. I mean, here's a case where he stam made a sukkah, we're going to assume that the machshava was there.
Okay. No, but the question is, do you need more than that? So we're going to have to go back to Stam Lishma for a minute and catch him and see what that's all based on. Where does all this come from? So again, everyone agrees there is such a principle called Stam Lishma, and the question is, how do you understand it? In light of the Rishon Musayini Dibor, how does the principle of Stam Lishma make any sense? So if you take a look back at the beginning of where Stam Lishma enters into the picture, where did Rashi? Rashi in Masechta Sukkah says, if you build the sukkah within 30 days, everything's great, Stam Lishma. Where did that come from, that principle of Stam Lishma? So if you take a look at the second of the Ramah Kavans, the Sugi Masechta Zvachim Dabez. So Amalei Ravidul Rapapa, Lo Havis Gabon Be'orsa B'chumud Be'charmach. Ravina said to Rapapa, you weren't in yeshiva yesterday. You weren't in the Beis Medrash yesterday when we were in the tchum of this place of Becharmach, wherever in the world it was. He said, Takas, Ravina said to Rapapa, you missed yesterday's shiur. What happened yesterday? So Gavalik in the Beis Medrash. The Rami Rava Mili Ma'al Yisa Adad Vishani Lahu. Because Rava asked an unbelievable kash yesterday, and he gave an unbelievable teretz. Ah, chaval. In the old days, there's no recorders, there's no nothing, you're a myth. You're not there, that's it, finished. So my milim alias is, what was the great thing that he missed? So Baruch Hashem, we don't have the recorders, but we can rely on Ravina's memory. So Ravina tells us what happened yesterday in the Beis Medrash. So Ravina said that Rava raised the following contradiction. Tanan, it's a Zvachim Dabez. So Rava was saying, it was the Shir Psicha, the opening Shir, the Zman they were learning Kachim. So Tanan, Kol HaZvachim Shinish B'chu Shalol Lishman V'chulei. The Mishnah says that if you shech the korban shalol lishma, namely a shech the ola l'shem shlom, a shech l'shlom l'shem asham, etc. So the Mishnah says, but the ever the korban is kosher. I wasn't supposed to do it, but the ever the korban is kosher. The only thing is that it's not ola b'ayim l'shem choyva. It doesn't count. So if you took a ned to bring a korban ola, you have to bring another one. You brought a ned, you made a ned to bring a korban shlomim, you weren't yotz, you have to bring another one. But the korban is kosher. The only two korbanos that a apostle they were shechting for the wrong korban is the korban chatas and the korban pesach. But putting those aside, kol hazvach tishmuk l'shoshmana k'sherim. So comes the Gemara's Medayah, comes Rav Medayah, time with the shalol l'shman. The only reason why the carbon is affected, why it's not perfectly good, why it's not olah l'shem b'ayim, it doesn't count, is because you actively did shalol l'shma. Hastaba, if you wouldn't have done anything, you would have just come to the Beis HaMikdash with your carbon olah, not said a word, the coin doesn't say a word, nobody says anything, just shech the carbon. It would have been It would have been perfectly okay. It would have counted as a korban. You would have been fine. You would have been yotzi and net. Everything would have been phenomenal. Alma, you see from the diuk of the Mishnah, stama nami ki lishman dami. You see that stama is lishma. This is the source. Vachem Dabez is the source for the principle of stama lishma. So comes Rav and says, we derive from the Mishnah's Vachem Dabez that there is a halachic principle called stama lishma. If something is nothing happened to the contrary. Nobody said anything bad. We assume everything is all right. But Rav himself has the contradiction. Kol haget shenichta shelo l'shem isha. Apostle, if a get is written not for the purpose of that woman. So let's say, for example, a person has two wives, and they both happen to be named Rachel Bas Yaakov. And he writes a get for the older one, and then before he gives it to her, he says, you know what, we'll give it to the younger one instead. So that's possible in the Torah. Why? The chasav law, lishma, the get must be written for that specific woman. So the din is befavish in the third pack of get, then a get written shalol lishmos posel, ustam enami posel, and it's clear from the Mishnayos in Maseches Gittin, not only is it, if it was written for the wrong person, is it posel, if it was written stam, it's also posel. It's just stam, he didn't really write it lishmos, the guy's writing a get, l'shem rocha bas Yaakov, he wasn't thinking which one, he wasn't thinking anything, so the get is posel also. So what's pshat? How come stam carbon is kosher? You don't have to think anything as long as you didn't ruin it. And stam get is not kosher. Vishani, that was Rav's kasha. And Rav answered, Zvachim bistam lishman omdin. Isha bistam alav legevishim amed des. Says Rav, there's a very big difference in Mitzias practically. That a korban is omed lekach to be brought as a proper korban. Once a person is makdish a korban, so he's makdish as a korban ova, you look at this animal, this animal's got ola written all over it. Everybody knows, once the animal is hukdish l'shem ola, that's what's going to happen to it. It's going to be brought. So, b'shugana, who would ever think in a million years he's going to bring this ola as a shlomim? So therefore, a korban ola is labeled in halacha as l'shma, stama l'shma imit. You look at a regular woman, a woman walking around the street, you say, oh, she's got get written all over. She's got get. We would hope not. We'd hope that's the Yitzim in a cloud that Nebuch a woman gets divorced. So you don't say about a regular woman, oh, she's stumbling the grave, she don't have this. So since there's this obvious distinction between the two, only by kachim can we say, you don't have to do anything. Just don't do anything fool. Don't ruin it. Just bring the carbon and just don't do anything. Just keep blank. Don't do anything silly. And we're going to be makshir the carbon based on stumbling lishma. When it comes to Isha, we can't just hide behind establishment and say, yeah, this woman was probably supposed to get, for the last 20 years, she's probably omit to get divorced anyway. That's clearly not true. And therefore, for a get, you can't hide behind stam lishma. Stam isha lot of gevishin omenis. So that's what Rav
is. Is it the law of Ola or is it the activity? Whereas I'm sitting in front of an Ola. I'm obviously there for only one reason, right?
Well,
is it the activity or is it the law of...
It's Hilchas Ola, the fact that I was makdish as an Ola.
It's from the law. No, it's not because it's obvious that somebody's sitting there.
Okay. Oh, you're touching on the Hakira. Uh-huh. Your Hakira is going to save the day. About, is it a question of... Is it obvious that's what he meant, or is there some kind of a halachic fact to play out? It's a halacha mitzias. Hang in there. We have to hang in until tomorrow, but hang in there for this. Good. Very good. Excellent. So again, so the Gemara just develops for us the principle. The principle is that sometimes we say stama l'shma omed, and sometimes we don't. By kavanos we do, and by git we don't. And it sounds like it's not anything fundamentally different between the two. It's just mitzias. The mitzias is that sometimes things are omed l'shma, sometimes not. Based on this Gemara in Zvachim, we understand why a sukkah, according to Bishamai, built within 30 days is okay, even if nothing was thought through, because it's stama l'shma. It means if I see a guy building a sukkah now it's a few weeks before Pesach, a guy's building a hut in the backyard, you don't say, oh, he must be building as a sukkah. How do you know? That's like an isha, that's like equivalent of a woman. A stam hut is not built the same sukkah in the middle of March. But 2 weeks before sukkahs, a stam hut is built the same sukkah.
Could you just explain this stam l'shma by the carbon? Like, Cohen knows what the
carbon
is?
Yeah, I shecht it. Well, okay. That's also a question. That's going to touch on this chakira about what exactly stam l'shma means. Is stam l'shma psychological or stam l'shma halachic? We're going to have to hold off for that part of the chakira until tomorrow. Who knows what? But at the end of the day, there's the principle of stam l'shma developed in Zvachim and Veiz by Rava. The Rashi, based on the sugya and sugya of test, is clearly extending this to mitzvahs, and it makes a lot of sense that before 30 days, a sukkah is like an isha. It's not stam l'shem sukkah. Within 30 days, it comes transformed to become like a korban, that it is stam l'shma. But we're still back to square one. We still don't understand how could you get around, how does the whole issue of stam l'shma work in light of the fact that here after Rishon Rabbeinu Baruch and the Rish say you need more than just machshava. You need diba. Where's the diba by stam l'shma? By definition, there's no diba. Stam l'shma means there was no diba. So we still have to go back to the sugya of stam l'shma from Mitzvah tomorrow and try to fine tune a little bit and find out what is stam l'shma, what is it not. And hopefully based on that, we'll be able to understand what's going on.